We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the Aggie Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. This is the Aggie Coaches Show with Coach Gary Anderson. Brought to you by America First Credit Union. Financial solutions for every need. Bryant Heating and Cooling. Whatever it takes. SC Needham Jewelers. Where Utah gets engaged. And by Wingers. They're freaking amazing. Here's the voice of the Aggies, Scott Girard.
Hey, welcome on in. It's another edition of the Aggie Coaches Show with Gary Anderson. We are live here at Wingers in Logan in the Cache Valley Mall. Love for you to come by and say hi and hang out with us. Coming up a little bit later on, you'll have a chance to ask Coach a question. We need more of those. If you've got questions for Coach, get ready. Coach would love to hear from you. So let's get it rolling here as we have a chance to chat about what was a really fun, I guess we can say fun now that it was a W win against San Diego State, and then look ahead to Colorado State. But Coach, going 1-0 in conference play, those conference W's they're not easy to come by, and every time you get them, you got to have a big smile on your face.
Well, there's no doubt, yeah, especially with the conference foes that we have this year that are usually on our side and ones that we rotate through. So obviously, San Diego State is one of those rotating teams that we get to have for 2 years, and then they go away for 2 years, and you know, they got Fresno State over there also staring at us. So it's interesting to play those guys, and it was a big win. Great college football game. You know, a couple of those games this year have been really good games. The kids have battled through situations and moments, and it came down to kind of one play one time and one play the other time, and we were on the good side one time and not so on the good side against the Wake Forest game. But it was great. They battled. It was a fight. Went back and forth. Would expect nothing less out of a Rocky Long team like we talked about all week long. And I thought our kids, you know, handled it well and found a way to make a play at the end of the game to win, which was great.
Had a chance to catch up with Coach Sanford a little bit earlier this afternoon, and he mentioned, you know, a Rocky Long team, you think and you prepare for something all week long, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes something different, and it's about how you adjust to a defensive team like that. That, frankly, this is me speaking. I don't know. You don't have to weigh in on this. That might be one of, if not the best defense you face this year, maybe outside of LSU.
Yeah, I would imagine they'll be right up there at the end. And, you know, they've it's kind of the recipe, if you look at it a little bit this year versus last year. We had so many teams sit back and play zone coverage against the Aggies last year and sat and played quarters and played off, and it was way different. This year they're up in our face and playing man coverage and doing some different things to force that ball out and some unique twists and some situations that try to confuse the quarterback but still play traditional defenses behind them. So it's people have done their game planning against our offense, I guess, in the offseason, I would say, and which is, that's what good staffs do. They look at the teams that had a bunch of success, and they work hard to be able to stop them. And, you look at that game plan, it was man coverage. It was much like the team that we're playing this week at Colorado State played against Utah State last year. It was much the same. It was man coverage, get up and try to disguise. Not as many moving parts with the defensive line. With Colorado State, they'll be much more stagnant. But as far as the pressure, it sits there and says, hey, we're going to play man coverage, go ahead and beat it. And, we need to kind of break that down a little bit and have some answers to be able to get some touchdowns scored in those scenarios and situations. Wake Forest played a lot of that against us also. So we will see as we move forward, we'll face the same type of coverages this week, and we've got to learn to beat them.
I thought sometimes when you play a team like that, especially if they can get pressure, there was a lot of traffic around Jordan Love in that game. And sometimes quarterbacks get happy feet back there. I never got the sense that he had happy feet at all, stayed poised, confident, and more often than not, delivered the ball where it needed to be.
Yeah, that's Jordan. And he also had snaps were not where they needed to be. So we need to help him in that situation and be better in that scenario. But there was a lot of moving parts for the offensive line. The running backs, as I've mentioned many times, blocked extraordinarily well. Many times they had to come back across the formation to pick up a guy that is their guy, but it's in an abnormal spot from where it usually sits. And I thought Jordan did a nice job of reading. His wide receivers and tight ends did a nice job. Carson had a great game. Carson had a tremendous game, breaking tackles, making things happen for the offense. And, we caught a bunch of contested balls. But you're right. I mean, Jordan stayed very composed, stayed in the moment, and made the plays when we absolutely needed him to make the plays. And even at the end of the game, we had those last two drives where we had an opportunity to go down. The offense went down. They did their job. They got the job, the ball down to the 25-yard line, and, we kick a field goal. That game's over with, and there's no way they're going to score twice in that situation unless something crazy happens on an onside kick. But in that game, it may have happened. Yeah. It could have gone that way. But in the end, we found a way to get it done. And, Jordan is the ultimate competitor, in my opinion.
One of the plays that will not go down as far as a great play because it started disastrous, but a bad snap that goes all the way back to the goal line. Jordan's able to go back, fling it, no intentional grounding, throw it in a way that you didn't get the grounding, which could have ended up in a safety. It sets up for a third and short. He converts the third and keeps the drive alive.
Yep, and that's, again, for him. And you can call it a sweet hop or whatever. He got the ball. He put it up there. He ran out there and threw it out. He's got a strong enough arm to make a decision to get that out of there. And there was some situations, and they had a bunch of the few penalties, San Diego State, that really backed them up in those exact situations on the kickoffs, right? There's a couple kickoff returns, put them back to the 10-yard line to start some drives, and we didn't really have that situation. Could have been in that spot with Jordan right there, but he got us out of it.
What was the story on the exchanges there? There was, I think, four snaps, maybe five that went awry.
Yeah, well, there was a bunch of snaps that we just were snapping them to the right, and there was some scenarios with some practices and some things that just the ability to be healthy and practice through those things and get that done in the CQ exchange. There's a lot that goes into those moments. And at the end of the day, when you look at those things, we need to make sure as coaches and a group of players, we do all we can to adjust that, to make it be so we get the snaps that we need during the week, the reps that we need during the week to be used to that type of movement. It's different for the center. I mean, I played center. It's way different when I'm sitting there and I have two defensive tackles sitting there or a nose guard on top of me, and I know that guy's there, that guy's there, that guy's there. When you're playing San Diego State, that guy that's there, he's not going to be there, but somebody's going to be there.
Yeah.
And again, those are repetitions that we couldn't get during practice that week because we weren't healthy at that position.
You fire off much out of the shotgun back in the day when you were playing center?
Very very little back in the day. I was pretty much Larry Edgar was right under center with me, and away we went doing our deal. So very few shotgun snaps in my day.
It's the Gary Anderson Coaches Show. We're live here at Wingers. Love for you to come by and hang out with us. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll chat with Tipa Naliai as well as COC Mariner. Kevin White made an interesting note on the broadcast. I wanted to touch base with you. You have wide receivers that are making really great catches, contested catches. Is that through practice? Is that the DNA of a tough guy just making sure that he gets that ball? What goes into a wide receiver being able to make those kind of plays?
Well, I think the biggest thing is – That's kind of like a coach telling you that you're going to make a guy really fast.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that goes into the competitiveness, the toughness. Now, is it practiced? Absolutely, yes. I mean, every day you go out there pre-practice, and Coach Phillips has got those running backs in there, swatting them with the padded sticks and making them go through the pop-up dummies and look through small windows to catch balls, and that's all part of it. There's definitely some training that goes into there, but it's a tough guy that can get in that position, in that situation, and wants to compete for that ball when it's a 50-50 ball. It might be yours, might be mine. I'm going to go take that thing. It's like a great rebounder in basketball.
Yep,
they just have a niche to get the ball, and you know, we've been very, very fortunate this year to have some young men that go after those contested balls and make the catches, which is a sign of a competitive wide receiver group. Absolutely, yes. Well coached, yes. But again, I think a lot of that goes back to recruiting the right guys in the right spots to that have the competitive nature that we need them to have in our offense. You can't just be an average guy. Again, I say it, catch a hitch, go 80 yards, okay, whatever, that's fine. But you got to break a tackle sometimes. You got to catch a contested ball and make people miss. That's what our offense is all about once you get the ball in your hands.
You know, when you're recruiting a kid, chances are he's one of, if not the best player on his high school team. Mm-hmm. So with that said, how hard is it to identify toughness in a high school athlete when chances are he's already the best player on the team?
It can be difficult at times, but it also goes into multi-sport athletes. What is he doing in the offseason when he's not playing football? Is he still competing? Does he have that ultimate drive? It goes through talking to his coaches. Many times you can see it on tape. You can just see toughness by position. It gets a little more difficult at some positions to see, you know, Cooper, right? Cooper is one of the most competitive kids and one of the toughest kids we know. Well, he's multiple state championship wrestler and multiple state champion in track, and he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
So you look at him and say, well, how competitive is he when he plays the quarterback position? He looks it, but you know how tough he is from what he does. So you try to educate yourself, see exactly where it is. And the other thing is, I'm a firm believer in this, I think a program can make a kid tougher just through the development of his mind, the development in the weight room, the toughness that comes through the football team, and his football team holding himself accountable to what direction he's headed in life and on the football field. I think that makes kids tougher. And sometimes it's, you know, they grow up too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's you get into those situations and kids will continually grow and develop, and they'll get tougher in your program if your program demands toughness. And if they can't, then they won't survive.
A couple of individual players I want to talk about. Cam Haney played, started in that game. Evaluate his play, and do you still anticipate working Lampkin in as much as you can?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's good to have Cam come back and get into that spot. He's a senior. He's earned the opportunity to be in that position. He worked his tail off to get healthy. Again, he played well, tackled really well. Him and DJ, again, tackled extremely well in that game. And so many times they wanted to get the toss out into the field. And you hold San Diego State at the end of the day to, you know, 2 yards a rush. That's a really, really good day in that setting. And had a lot of TFLs, and they were responsible for a lot of that. But to get Cam back in that setting was good. I want him to have a successful senior year, and now that he's back on the field, he's got a game underneath his belt with a lot of success. So hopefully he can continue to build on that. And, yes, we do keep Cam in the rotation. He's a freshman that is in the mix. He's going to play for us, and he's excited for that opportunity. And, you know, he's kind of back where he needs to be. He's had had a little bit of a tough week a couple weeks ago with a tough family situation that he has gone through. Our family dug into him. His family dug into him, took care of him, and he's back where he needs to be. And so many of these kids, but you know, they go through a lot. And he's away from home, has some situations happen, and it's just more important sometimes that we put our arm around a young man and hug him up than it is he goes out and plays in a football game.
And then Tipa with a sack and three TFLs. It was fun to see him get going.
It was. You know, we've tried to loosen up a little bit for him and get him in some spots and not let people always know where he's going to be.
Saw him at nose guard there.
Yeah, once or twice, moving him around there, put him in there, let him dive around and have some fun. But it was good to see him get those big TFLs. Big plays when we needed him. The sack was awesome. And you know, so that's a really nice game for Tipa, and we expect him to keep growing, and we need to just keep being dynamic how we use him, because a good offense is going to find out where he is and try to double-team him a lot, which has taken place. And so now it's a chess game, trying to move him around and get him in spots to be able to make some plays.
We continue on with Coach Gary Anderson coming up next. We're live here at Wingers. And make sure to show your Aggie pride at any Wingers location. Use your Aggie Visa card to pay for your meal and receive a free dessert. Plus, you'll be entered to win an Aggie football package, including tickets to the next home game. Stop by any USU or Golden West Credit Union branch to pick up your Aggie Visa card. Congratulations, this week's winner. It's Andrew Gilchrist. And someone will be reaching out to you very soon, Andrew. So congratulations, and thanks for using that Aggie Visa card. More of the Gary Anderson Coaches Show coming up next on the Aggie Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome on back. You're listening to the Gary Anderson Coaches Show live here at Wingers. Looking ahead to Colorado State, the game that obviously a lot of people remember. Back and forth, Utah State scores a late touchdown to Aaron Vaughn's. Looks like Utah State's going to get a highly contested W, and then Colorado State comes down, throws the Hail Mary. Looks like it's a touchdown. Looks like the Aggies have their first conference loss. And then look over to the official and coach up in the booth. It was a nightmare trying to figure out what was going on. And you see the coach without a hat on, and you start to put two and two together. That's, you know, it's a game of inches. And last year, that certainly was the case in that one.
There's no doubt. The crazy thing is, so obviously I was at Utah. We were playing Colorado on that day, and our game had just ended. And I knew how cold it was. Trust me, it was cold.
Yeah.
And our game had a whole bunch more snow in it than there was at Fort Collins. But I got on my phone, and I looked, and it was went right to the game, clicked on it. And at that moment, it was like the score was over. It was done. They lost.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I look back 5 minutes later. What happened? So it was crazy for me, too, sitting there saying, oh, man, they lost the game. And upset, and away we go. And then all of a sudden, they came back and won. And by that time, so I was on the phone. And in fact, I called Stacy, and I was like, what happened in the game? And so she let me know. It was a very, very highly contested game. And like I mentioned earlier, it was a team. They came out and they said, okay, we're going to line up a play man coverage. And Colorado State had a bunch of yardage on offense, but they scored twice on defense. The Aggies did.
Yeah.
And, we put one touchdown up enough. They scored one offensive touchdown at the end of the day. Last drive, second to last drive, if you will, because Colorado State had another drive. And they scored the touchdown. They needed to get it done. And, you know, sometimes games are like that. Sometimes seasons are like that when you find a way to make a special play in that special moment, and the other team doesn't. And that's kind of what took place there. And, you know, the rest is history.
So I don't know if there's a little gamesmanship going on here or what the situation is, but earlier I was listening to Coach Bobo's press conference. He said Marvin Kinsey's doubtful. He said the wide receiver, Jackson, is doubtful for this game. But I got to imagine you probably, you know, look, this isn't the NFL. You don't have to, you know, list players specifically. I got to imagine you probably prepare as if everybody's playing in this game.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we'll definitely prepare and see exactly what's out there and where those kids are and what the situation is. And, you're right. We prepare for the guys that we see on film, and they have very capable backups in that setting, in that situation. This is a very powerful offense. Just look at it and look at the numbers, see what they've done. It's 700 yards last week. They rushed, one guy rushed for 200 and whatever yards. This wide receiver is, I don't know how tall he is, but he's tall, 6'5", 6'6". He's made a ton of plays. He's one of the most productive wide receivers in the country. And Bobo's offenses are very, very good. He's a very good coach. He has done what he's done in his career as far as with offenses and their experience there. They have good players on the offensive side of the ball. There's no doubt about it. And, good players on the defensive side of the ball, too. It's just the big plays have really hurt him on the defensive side. And, you know, we've had a couple of those ourselves as we've gone through time here. So they're offensively, they're a scary team to play against. And ask Arkansas that, ask Western Illinois that, you know, ask anybody that they've played that they understand this is a very, very potent offense.
Forecast calls for rain. How much does that damper what you try to do offensively?
I hope none, and it shouldn't. You know, we've prepared for rain. We've thrown wet balls. We've squirted them down for the last 2 days and done everything we can to make sure that, we've got the right kind of gloves or the best we can be. Now, and it's always a factor of some sort, somehow, some way, but we put our kids in a position to be prepared for it. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't affect us and hopefully it affects them. So we'll see how that goes. But, rain in that setting, in that situation, keeping your gloves dry, keeping the balls dry as we can, and rotating the balls when we're on the offensive side of the ball is key. And then obviously ball security is a big deal. So we're going to have to play – to get to the point to compete and be able to win a championship sooner or later, which is always going to be the goal as you go through, and to win games late in the year, you're going to play in bad weather. So
yep.
You have to be able to react. Your offense, somehow, some way, you've got to have a scheme. If it has to be adjusted to play in cold weather to give you a chance to play elite games in the month of November, then you need to adjust the scheme if you can't play in bad weather. And so Saturday is going to be not good weather. We know that, in the rain. So if it affects us in a negative way, then you know we better understand that we better fix that and find a way to help the kids.
Well, I will say this. Temperature is still in the 50s, maybe even the 60s. So no reason, no rain is going to hurt anybody. So get your butt to the game. Let's see you up in that stadium, and let's see a great crowd up there at Maverick Stadium, because it should be a fun one with Utah State and Colorado State. So tell me a little bit about Patrick O'Brien. Colin Hill, tremendous player. Unfortunate injury with him with the ACL again. Really good kid. I had a chance to chat with him a lot at Mountain West Conference Media Day. Feel bad for him and his situation, but Patrick O'Brien still seems like a guy who come out and sling it pretty good.
Yeah, he is. And you're right with Carl. That's horrible. That kid has battled back from so many injuries. And, you know, it is what it is. I went through three of those myself, and it's not a bunch of fun. And it's a hard spot for that kid, and I'm sure he'll still be a team leader and battle and be there with his guys. He seems like a tremendous kid, and I agree. From what I saw of him in the media days, he's a competitive, tough kid. This guy walks in, and you know, he's a Nebraska transfer. Obviously, he was highly recruited. Coach Sanford knows him well through the cycle of all quarterback coaches. You know, there's not that many in the country that are elite quarterbacks. This kid was an elite quarterback coming out of high school, went to Nebraska. Big, strong, tall kid. You know, probably 230-some-odd pounds from what he looks like on film and from what you read up on him. Can throw it across the field wherever he needs to. He has no problem throwing the deep ball, communicating with his receivers to throw the post, to throw opposite field hash. None of that stuff bothers him. So he's a gunslinger, and you can see that in the numbers. Just look what he did in the game that he played. He came in, and they really didn't miss a beat on offense as far as throwing the football. And he controlled it and handled the offense very, very well. You would see a 700-plus yard performance on offense is not easy to do. So this guy's a really good quarterback.
They run the ball extremely well, but they do give up some pressures. Is it more of that offensive line a little bit better on the run blocking than maybe in protection?
Well, a lot of their they've done some things where they're a play action team. They sprint out, they boot out some things, and sometimes if you call that into a blitz or what have you, you're gonna have a little bit more pressure than normal. But then I think the timing of the quarterback getting the ball out, you know, I don't watch the film and say, oh, my goodness, this is, we got a chance here to get a bunch of freebie sacks, or we got this pressure coming off here that's going to do that. They're multiple within their personnel groups. They'll have 3, 4, and sometimes 5 different personnel groups that they'll show you. There's a lot of motions. There's a lot of moving parts of their offense. It can be very confusing. And, again, that goes to good coaches and kids that can handle a fairly large scheme. So, I'm just telling you, we're facing a pretty potent offense when we walk out there, and we have to be, make sure we're assignment sound, we're communicating well, and taking care of our business.
You know, I was had a chance to chat on my show down in Salt Lake City. Kyle came on earlier this week, and he said drop 8's a big part of kind of college football now, and kind of how you have to defend a lot of teams that get after a little bit. You've gone to drop 8 a little bit so far this year. Is that just kind of a staple that a lot of offense or a lot of defenses are going to have to use now going forward?
Well, we've always had drop 8. You know, if I go back to the early 2000s, Kyle and I always had a drop 8 in each package, and it was back in the day, it was a very comfortable call to call when people used to try to personnel you and hide in the huddle on the sidelines and jump out, and it was kind of a comforting call for the kids to settle them down and get into a spot. So drop 8 for us is really nothing different, but with the spread offense, it has grown into more of a disguise package. You're up there potentially could bring 6, could bring 5, could bring 4, and you're dropping out to 3 to confuse a quarterback and put him in a spot to be able to not get an early pre-snap read. Now, the more they spread you out, the less you can disguise. But, drop 8 is something that we have. We have that in each one of our packages. Some teams use it more than others. It's, it can be a very, very good weapon, but at times it does allow a quarterback to get out and stress your coverage as you go through time. So living in it's not the answer, just like living in man coverage is not the answer. Living in dropping, rushing 4, blitzing every time. It's mixing it up in today's day and age, especially with these quarterbacks that know exactly what they're doing and how they're handling the offense is the key.
You know, we've talked a lot about CLC Mariner as a transfer, certainly Caleb Rep, Jalen Warren coming from Snow. Nick Henninger, I think, has been great in the first few games of the season and has done a tremendous job on that line.
Nick has. He's a great story, too. He's a great student. Took like 17 hours of summer school to get here and battled like crazy to find a way to get graduated. And, you know, he'll jump in that business school and do a great job. And he's an extremely smart kid and he's going to be getting married here in a little bit. So life is in a good direction, but he's a good physical, tough football player. Just another young man that was one of those transfers that walked in here. He was in my room, obviously, last year, the whole year at Utah, and was excited about an opportunity to come in and play and be able to compete at a high level, and he's done that. He's deep in our rotation, and you know his care factor for this team is extremely high, just like the other transfers that walked in here. So I'm proud of Nick, but mostly I'm happy that you know he's enjoying himself and he feels like this was a great decision for him, and that means the world to me for all those transfer kids, for COC Caleb Riley, you know, all of those kids, to make sure that they're having a good time and enjoying what they're doing here in Cache Valley is awesome.
And you get him for 2 years, too.
Get Nick for 2 years. I wish you had COC for 2 years, Caleb for 2 years, Riley for 2 years. That'd be nice, but at least I get Nick for two.
No doubt. All right, coming up next, we'll take some questions for Coach. If you've got some questions or comments and want to pick his brain a little bit, we'd love to hear from you live here at the Wingers location in Logan in the Cache Valley Mall. Love for you to stop by right here on the Aggie Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. All right, well, welcome on back. You're listening to the Gary Anderson Coaches Show. We're live here at Wingers in Logan. Coming up in our next segment, we'll chat with CLC Mariner as well as Tiffin Naliai. Now's the chance for you to ask a question. You got a question for Coach? Raise your hand, and we'd love to hear from you and see if you want to pick Coach's brain a little bit. One thing, and completely off the beaten path here a little
Tipa
bit.
Tiffin has a question.
Oh, does Tiffin got a question? I want to hear that. Here we go.
Who's your favorite Polynesian player of all time?
How many Polys are in the room? Just you, baby, so you win.
That's got to be a fun young man to coach.
Yeah, he is. He's Teep always has a smile on his face, and he's the ultimate competitor, like many kids in this program. And he's got a great story, battled his tail off to get here. He's made the best of it, and he continues to do so. And I know his family's proud of him. We are too, and we're excited about having him for the rest of this season through here and then see where life takes him. So he's going to stamp that degree here in December and get himself ready to roll. So
I got to imagine there's some big things in his future, no doubt.
There needs to be, as long as he eats. So I see there's no plate in front of him right now. So he needs to eat and eat and eat and eat. I wish I had that metabolism.
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
you?
No doubt.
It'd be nice.
All right, another question. Go ahead, sir.
So as Scott said, let's pick the coach's brain here. My wife knows how I was feeling at the end of the fourth quarter. We were watching. I thought two unfortunate lucky touchdowns happen. Then the missed field goal. She was laying by me and knew what I was thinking and saying, what were you thinking at that time? They did show you a few times on TV, too. We saw you.
Just make one play. That's what I was thinking, one play. You know, the when you go through those moments, right, there's so many momentum swings in a game, and you're not going to play San Diego State and ever think the game's over. And I've said that many times, the respect I have for Rocky and his kids. But, you know, the one thing that I felt is I didn't feel any panic whatsoever, nor did I in the Wake Forest game. The kids, they just kept on playing, kept battling. When the offense took the field, I thought they had good eyes. You know, Jordan looked at me and winked and said, Coach, we got this on the last drive, and they drove it right down the field. When we missed the field goal, I didn't see the defense walking out on the field with their heads down and say, woe is me, here we go again. They took the field and expected to go out and win. And so it's, you can tell yourself you could coach that, but I think kids learn that in a program to trust each other. It's not necessarily trusting a coach or trusting a trainer or whatever at that moment. It's about trusting each other and say, hey, this is a team sport. I signed up for it. We've had mistakes that have been made. I need to answer the bell as my unit right now and do all I can. And, it's nerve-wracking. Absolutely, yes. You'd like to find a way to help them get that thing done and end it. You always kind of look and say, what could I have done different in those settings to be able to help them not allow those big plays to take place? But they did, and I probably aged, I don't know, I was 55 going into it. I was probably 62 at the end.
That opens up another question. Somebody wants to jump in. We'd love to hear from you. But, you know, that I think that shows the culture of this team a little bit. And I had a chance to chat with a couple players after the game on the postgame show. And I asked them, you know, was there any nervousness? And they're like, no. You know, look, we knew we gave them a couple, and we're going to shut it down, and we'll be just fine. And I love that bravado, is thinking, you know what, it's all right, we'll be okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, the other thing is they made a bunch of plays to get to that point too, which you get in those moments, you can't forget. You made a lot of plays to get to that point, so just make another one.
Yeah.
It's a long game. You've gone through it, and, hey, things didn't go our way, but you got to battle back through it. I was proud to see him, you know, keep fighting and keep battling, and just stay poised and stay confident. We always talk about it. Adversity is going to strike. It might be the first play of the game. It might be the last play of the game. It might be 2 weeks in a row you go through adversity. It may never hit. Who knows? But you got to be prepared for it, and you can't run from it.
Another question down the way there. Go ahead.
Coach, keys to the game of beating Colorado State on Saturday.
Turnovers, and I would put an exclamation point behind that with the weather, and we need to make sure that we take care of the football, and we work to get that out. We need to stop their running game and their big play action shots that they take downfield. They get a lot of big plays in the run game and in the throw game, really, with their play action scenarios that really hurts the teams that they've played. And I would think for our offense is the ability for our offense to be able to beat man coverage. That's something that we need to take great pride in as an offense, and we need to beat man coverage and take care of it. And then when we get in the red zone, we need to score touchdowns. That would be, you know, the keys for me. And then that always leads me to third downs on both sides is obviously a huge part of it also.
You know, you bring up the point there. This team about 40% scoring touchdowns in the red zone. But you played, you know, two in particular really, really good defenses in Wake Forest and San Diego State. What's the key to punching it in once you get inside the 20?
Well, I think, you know, the field closes. Things go a little bit quicker when you get down there in those settings, those situations. You have to be able to not let a defense kind of know who you are at that point. Yeah, we can run it. Yes, we can throw it. You got to anticipate the pressure, and then it's the same situation. We need to make sure that we give the kids opportunities to make plays, and when the opportunity presents itself, you know, we need to pound that ball, whether through the run or get it through up in the air, to score touchdowns. And, you know, it comes down to, in those scenarios, in those situations, executing at a high level. You know, players make plays, players win games, especially as that field closes. And when you're in that spot, once you get inside the 10-yard line, I always tell the defense, on defense, when you get to the 10-yard line going in and you're protecting your end zone, average plays lead to touchdowns.
Yeah.
So you're in a position to force the defense to make great plays, and all you got to do on the offensive side of the ball is just make some average plays once you get on the 10-yard line. Make two or three average plays, you score a touchdown. Don't let them make a great play that throws you off track, and then all of a sudden it becomes much more difficult for you. So as simple as that sounds, that's the red zone in a nutshell to me.
Hart, you know, I think he ended up that San Diego State game with 80 yards rushing in that game, but considering how San Diego State was playing the run, and you guys end up well over 3 yards, 3 yards a carry, which, again, in the grand scheme of things may not be great, but against that defense, I thought you ran the ball well.
Yeah, and there was some physical runs.
Yeah.
You know, just Jalen's runs and G. Bright's runs just pop out. Again, Carson's after the catch runs that he made two or three times. There was some physical, tough-minded kids running the football there with some nice ball security. So, yeah, it's a tough defense. And the way they play, again, if you're going to line up, if you're going to soften them up, then soften up that man coverage, and you're going to have to throw the ball around, and then Rocky will back off if, you know, you're throwing the ball successfully down the field and scoring a bunch of touchdowns. But until you can soften them up, they're going to sit in there and they're going to play man coverage and they'll load up that box and they're going to make you earn your way. And that's just, it's very different than, you know, you sit back and so many, I think for a couple, 3 years here, people have just said, man, with these spread offenses, we can't line up with them. They're too fast for us to be able to line up and play man coverage. Well, now people are figuring out that that's not the case, that they need to be able to do that if they have the people to play man coverage. Rocky did that. Again, these guys this week, they have a plan to do it. They're going to do it. So you have to beat man coverage to be able to be successful, or they'll play seven or eight guys in the box. They'll stop the run. They'll play man coverage, and you'll have a hard time, and they'll squeeze you when you get down the red zone. So those answers to those tests need to come our way quickly.
So, again, this is a question I was going to ask you a little bit off the beaten path, but I got to imagine you had a big smile on your face. Former coach of yours, I believe a wide receiver coach at Oregon State, Coach Brennan, ends up getting a big win on the road for San Jose State, going in SEC country and getting a win. That'd be nice to see.
It was great for Brent. And, you know, Derek Odom's there. Kevin McGivens there on that staff. All those guys have been on my staffs in the past, and it's awesome to see them have that success. And I saw that score, and, you know, Coach Bernardi, who is he helps at San Diego State. He's an old-time offensive line coach, and I saw him and his boy as the offensive line coach at San Jose State, and I walked out of the tunnel, and I grabbed him as we were warming up on the backside. I said, "Coach, how you doing?" He said, "Man, I don't have my cell phone. I need to see if San Jose State's winning." I said, "Well, I saw it a minute ago, and they were still winning, so I hope they go," because that was a proud daddy when his boy won that game. So that's a big win for San Jose State and for those coaches. They battled for a long time to get that one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Coach, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Great
Go
conversation.
Aggies.
Coming up next, we'll chat with T. Panaliai as well as COC Mariner next on the Aggie Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And welcome on back. You're listening to the Gary Anderson Coaches Show. We're live here at Wingers. And make sure to show your Aggie pride at any Wingers location. Use your Aggie Visa card. Pay for your meal and receive a free dessert. Plus, you'll be entered to win an Aggie football package, including tickets to the next home game. Stop by any USU or Golden West Credit Union branch to pick up your Aggie Visa card. And again, congratulations to Andrew Gilchrist. Andrew, somebody from USU Credit Union, will be reaching out to you to make sure you get your prize. All right, time to chat with some players. Two of the favorites out there, as Aggie fans have enjoyed watching these guys over the last bit. Joining us now, COC Mariner wide receiver T. Panaliai, who's been wrecking offenses in this conference for about a year and a half now. COC, let's start with you. I know transferring is never easy, but what was it about this program when you hit the portal? What was it about Utah State? What was it about this coaching staff that made you feel like this would be a good fit?
About 99% of it was Coach A. Like the first day I was in the portal, he called me pretty quick, got on me pretty quick, and I knew from experience from the year he was at Utah. I got to know him a little bit. He got me over to the house a couple times, and he was just a real good person, very genuine person, and you could tell he's all for the kids. And my last year, I was looking to be comfortable in a spot where I can come in, play my best, and that's what Utah State offered me.
How good of a fit has this offense been for you?
It's been real good. You know, at first it was a bit of a struggle because it was track practice, but you know, you definitely get used to it, and you learn to love it, and it's very receiver-friendly. And, yeah, it's been real good to me. You know, Coach Phillips has helped me expand my game like that, and Coach Sanford does his job as an OC, calling the good plays and putting us in the right position to score, so it's been real good for me.
What's it like playing for a guy like Jordan Love?
Jordan's a great quarterback. He knows it. The world knows it. So, you know, he definitely makes the receiver's jobs easier, and we try to do all we can to make him right at all times. So whatever we can do, we get our hand on the ball. You know, we try to make a spectacular grab and things like that and just help him out and always be a helping hand for him.
You know, I had a chance to interview over the phone a couple times while you're at the University of Utah, and it always seemed like you were a guy that enjoyed the playing experience, but you could tell there was a fire there. You wanted to compete. You wanted to win at a high level. Just how important is that for you this final year now that the light's at the end of the tunnel of your playing career?
You know, that's what it's all about. You know, you come into college expecting just to do big things, you know, or if not, you probably want to play this sport. And I've always had that kind of fire in me. You know, I've been waiting to show it, waiting to get the opportunity. And God's will, you know, it finally came my fifth year. And it's a blessing that's at Utah State. So, you know, I was trying to give Utah State all I have left for college football.
So, T. Panaliai, who obviously had a huge game against San Diego State, three TFLs, one sack. Talk us through that performance, because that was a big one for you.
The biggest thing for us, I feel like, was just trusting our training throughout the week. You know, we stuck with Coach A and his plan that we and as well as our defensive coaches, just attacking the offense the way they wanted to, and you know, just depending on whatever they wanted to do, and we just had to go out and execute it. Our offense did a good job. They, you know, they were just putting us in the right position to keep us on the field. And you know, there was a lot of times where we could have got ourselves off the field, you know, a lot quicker, but we stuck with it and trusted our coaches and everything.
So what's the new defense been like for you personally?
I love it. I haven't really played a defense like this before, and it's I'm still learning to this day. it's something that I can help elevate my game and my football IQ. And Coach A and his staff, they do a good job on helping me with that.
So just to set you up on the broadcast, so I do the play-by-play, and, you know, I've got binoculars, and I'm trying to, you know, tell the audience what's going on, and I look over across the line, and I see number 10 played nose guard. I'm like, what is going on? How was that?
That's exactly what I mean when I haven't played this defense before. but Coach A, they, like he stated earlier, him and his staff, they try to find ways to help me and my football my teammates make plays, and you know, everybody has their play, and you know, if you don't make that play, then they'll scratch it out of the playbook. So I try my hardest when they put me in there, and it's a little awkward position, but that's what being a good football player to me is, adjusting to, you know, what's that task and what you got to do in order to win.
So you know, I want to go back to the sack, because I thought it was really impressive. You know, they faked the handoff, and it looked like for a second you were chasing the running back down, realized he didn't have it, and then pivoted on a dime and went and sacked the quarterback. Is that all just instinctual for you? Is that just kind of in your DNA to be able to make plays like that?
Yeah, it was kind of, to me, it was slow motion. I feel like once I went inside of the tackle, I saw the running back and the quarterback. That's all I saw. And I saw the football between both of them. And once the running back got out of my sight, I saw the quarterback still had the football.
Yeah.
So it's kind of slow but fast at the same time. It's kind of hard to explain it, but, you know, it all fell into my hands, and I had to make the play.
COC, I want to circle back to you a little bit on, and I talked to Coach about this. Not only have you made a bunch of catches, you made a lot of contested catches. Guys draped over your back a little bit, guys, you know, where it's kind of, where you've got to muscle through a defender to try to bring that ball in. How are you able to handle that kind of a situation? Do you enjoy that kind of contact out there on the field? Because more often than not, you're the one coming away with that ball.
Just through preparation, practice every day. Our coaches do a real good job of never let us take the easy way out. So no, every day you're always preparing for the game, preparing for your opponent. And like Coach A said, Coach Phillips does a good job of putting us during like in-game drills, so where like he makes it hard in the game would be, so like, you know, whether it's like we barely have enough time to look back for the ball, the windows probably way smaller than would be in the game. He just does good things like that, and is getting us ready for the games during certain kind of drills, so like it preps us for situations like that, so they become easier for us.
You know, you talk about that fast-paced offense. More often than not, you guys are losing in time of possession, so you're not out there a ton because you're going so fast, but do you see defenses start to wear down a little bit as the game goes on because you guys are going so up-tempo?
Most definitely. You know, you might have a team come out first couple series, like they're pressing you man-to-man, real bump and run, and the series start to go on like series 4 or 5, and all of a sudden they're playing off-man and things like that, and then suddenly you're starting to see cover 2 and things like that. So it definitely it works to our advantage, and when we run it correctly and really push the tempo, it really works in our favor.
So, Tipa, how much better does it make you as a defense when you spend spring and fall going up against this offense?
Oh, man. I feel like I've gotten a lot better. You know, me, I was very prideful last year. I feel like I wasn't so immature, but I felt like I was good enough.
Yeah.
But then, you know, not every school has the Heisman candidate quarterback, and that helped me a lot. The ball is out quick. That means they need to get to the quarterback faster. The O-linemen, they're improving every day, and that means I need to improve just as much as them. And, you know, just the all-around offense that we have, it helps not only me, but, you know, the rest of the 10 guys around me as well.
Yeah. You know, I remember the Michigan State game last year. I don't think Michigan State looked at any tape. They didn't really know what to expect, and you made them pay. This year, have you noticed the teams are playing you much, much differently than last year?
Oh, yeah. I've gotten a lot of offensive slides towards me. I've gotten a lot of double teams, triple teams, but I feel like that's what is a new challenge for me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really get a lot of one-on-ones, and when I do, I have to win. And but that's one thing those are two things I really need to work on is double team and triple teams, just getting used to it, you know, not always depending on the one-on-one block that I have. But when I do have double team or triple team blocks, I, you know, got to hope the my other teammates, the other D linemen, win as well because they have one-on-one. So it all works out, and I like it. I like being challenged, and sometimes I hope on the one-on-ones, but it won't always come to me. So.
All right, CLC, you got to put the coach's hat on now. Now I don't want to get in trouble by talking about a game plan or anything, but give me your keys. What does Utah State need to do to make sure you get a W against Colorado State?
Like Coach A said, first one probably be, you know, we're playing some different elements with the weather and whatnot. So ball security is always the first in our program.
Does it bug you to play in the rain?
I mean, obviously, you know, you throw as much as you want to play when it's dry, but yeah. I can't say it really bugs me. You know, we got to go out there and get the W no matter what it is, rain, sleet, or snow. So that's how our focus is and mentality going to the game. Another key I say is just finishing drives. You know, we got in the red zone quite a bit last week, and we kept cutting away 3 points. Like, nothing's wrong with 3 points, but 6 points are a lot better than three. So that's a big key for us, and, like, that's what we kind of harped on this week is finishing drives and things like that. And, you know, last key is always have fun, go out there and let it loose. You know, we prep our week for it, and, you know, Saturday's so close, so we might as well go out there, let it loose, have fun, do things like that to win the game.
Deep, how about you? What do you got to do on defense?
We just got to continue to execute as much as we can. Defensive line, it all starts with us. You know, we got to stop the run game. You know, I feel like a solid offense will establish the run game real quick. And if we stop that, you know, we can depend on our DBs and our defensive staff to defend the pass as well. And, you know, they can't pass unless the D-line gets to the quarterback. So I feel like the D-line, the front seven, will have a lot to do with this, with winning this game this week. So,
well, gentlemen, thanks for coming by. I really appreciate it. It's a fun conversation. Good luck coming up on Saturday, and let's do it again soon.
Yes, sir.
There you go. CLC Mariner, Tipanali, give him a round of applause. Good young men as Utah State gets set for a showdown coming up against Colorado State coming up on Saturday. Kevin White and I will have the pregame show 1 hour before kickoff. And remember, all your action is available on the Aggie Sports Network. And remember, if you are looking for the Aggies All the Way podcast, where we replay this coach's show, make sure to download the podcast. It's available on any podcasting platform, whether it be Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, whatever you're looking for. Just search Aggies All the Way, and you can get all the coaches' interviews, all the insight and analysis right there. And a big thanks to Wingers here in the Cache Valley Mall location. Always a pleasure to hang out here as well. For Coach Gary Anderson, I'm Scott Girard. Big thanks to Tipanali as well as COC Mariner. That's another edition of the Utah State Coaches Show with Gary Anderson right here on the Aggie Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
On the Aggie Sports Network, this has been the Aggie Coaches Show with Coach Gary Anderson. Brought to you by Ford. Go further. Zions Bank. We haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Wingers. They're freaking amazing. And by Larry H. Miller Dealerships. Driven by you. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.